to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, July 31st, 2015. It's just before 3:30 UTC as we're recording this. I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bo is here yet again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello, hello, hello.
Now, we were talking topics as we were getting into this, and we had lots and lots of relatively small comments or topics. We do have the 2016 election, which I guess even itself is made up of small topics, little things about this candidate, little things about that candidate. So I guess we're going to do essentially an all lightning round show. I mean, we've got a number of different presidential candidate things, but yeah, they are multiple topics. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do. So I don't even know how to start and say, here's the agenda for the show, because we don't have a freaking agenda. We're just going to go back and forth and do topics until we're tired.
Right.
There you go. Now, before we start on our actual list of topics, Yvonne, anything just going on you want to chat about like we do at the beginning of the show?
I'm very tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. I Sam knows I've been like all of a sudden now bouncing around all over the place. I don't know. We're not recording on our usual day. I went on another thing. I don't know. Just recently, it's just, I've been like swamped with stuff. Work and everything. I don't know. But nothing like really like, I don't know. Has anything like really like happened? I'm like,
I'll tell you the one thing that we did. Like, my son, Alex, age 5, for those of you who don't know, has been bugging us and bugging us and bugging us about how he wanted to go camping.
Okay.
Now, we have not yet gone camping for real. Okay. But what I did last weekend was, you know, a few weeks back, we went and bought a cheap tent. I'd had a better tent years ago, but it disappeared a long time ago. I don't know what happened to it. Whatever, it's gone. So we went and bought like a cheap, like $50 tent or whatever.
Okay.
We set it up in the yard. And so last weekend, we slept in the yard a couple times. You know,
and?
Because like, he loves it. He was like, it's like his new room. He wanted to go there several nights in a row, and he slept there, and it was kind of cold. You know, we had blankets. I didn't have actual sleeping bags, but I had blankets. And you know, when it was time for bed, he'd be like, "Let's go out to the tent." And we went out to the tent, and we basically had a good old time for several nights.
Until
the neighbors complained we were making too much noise.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Real?
Yeah. And I admit, like, we put it in the front yard. I probably should have put it in the backyard.
That probably would have been better.
I mean, the space was better in the front yard. Now, we're not on the street. We have a flag lot, so it's not like our front yard is right on the street and there are cars going by and stuff. We generally are fairly free about how we use our front yard. We keep toys out and stuff. We don't put everything away all the time. I've got, like, a bin I'm slowly filling up of stuff to be hauled away, you know, things like that. And you know, we just leave them out and don't worry about it too much. But you know, the fact was, the tent was it's like right past their backyard. And so apparently, you know, as we were going to bed and as we were doing stuff, you know, which of course it was nighttime, we made a little bit too much noise. They were having trouble sleeping. They complained. They left a note on our door. And I left a note on their door saying, "Sorry, we'll be more considerate in the future. We apologize. Maybe we should get to know each other better, blah, 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 whatever." So I felt bad about that. But like, you know, Alex really liked it. So we're probably going to do it again. At some point, we'll probably try camping for real, like go to a state park or something where they have a campground and do that and see how he does with that. But this was like a trial run of basically, let's try it in the yard first. And if it works out in the yard, then maybe later in the year we can do it for real. We might try it a couple more times. I might try to move it to the backyard. The backyard is like, the shape of the backyard isn't quite as good for putting the tent in, and it's like paved in certain places, and you know, you need actual dirt to stick the things in, and we've got like a brick patio kind of thing, but
yeah, I'm thinking about the last time that I that I went camping. I mean, must have been really over 30 years ago. I mean, I went camping. Mm-hmm. We were not. I mean, our family is not one to go camping. I took Sam once to what we considered camping, which is basically went out on a boat. We would anchor.
Yeah.
As Sam remembers,
and that's kind of like camping. Not quite.
It is like, but the boat, was a little bit more. Let's just say, so it's a lot more creature comforts than bringing a tent. But, it's like basically like bringing an RV, really, if you think about it.
Yeah. And an RV isn't quite the same as like a tent.
Camping. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. We'll try it again. We'll try to do it in such a way that we don't aggravate the neighbors who don't really like us anyway, I guess. I don't know. Ever since we moved in, there's been little friction here and there. And I don't know. I felt really bad.
You guys are just not really like, you guys aren't like chummy,
Yeah, basically. But I felt bad about the whole thing, so I left him a note. I tried to make it a nice little note and they mentioned some of the stuff in our driveway too, and I'm like, look, we're working on stuff, we're doing stuff. I guess I'm sorry if it bothers you, but it's our driveway. I don't know. We're off the street for a reason. Yeah, like we wouldn't do it if we were right on the street, but we bought the flag lot specifically so we could be more flexible with that kind of stuff. And I do feel bad for like making noise and waking them up, because we didn't realize we were doing that. We were just in the tent and we were ringing whatever, and yeah, it was late, but I don't know. And I guess the sound of a 5-year-old making noise is a little shrill sometimes, so I understand, and I'm sorry for that.
One thing, since you brought your son up, my son is turning 3 on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So
happy birthday, Manu.
Yeah. So I after some resistance from my wife, I wanted to look. My wife was looking at, and so she thought it was overboard to buy him an iPad. And I was
best investment you could make.
She wanted to buy him some one of these, like, you seen the what the, I can't remember what the name of this one, this stupidly cheap these one.
Tablets made for kids.
Yeah. And I'm like, I told my wife, are you crazy? Look, he likes our iPad. I get him that,
he's gonna be crap, like, what the hell is this thing?
This piece of crap. I want the damn iPad. I don't want this shit.
Look, I'll tell you, when we decided to get Alex his own iPad, we did it at the same time we got my daughter Amy an iPad. And we did something we thought was fairly reasonable. We got my daughter Amy a full-size one, and we got my son a mini. Mm-hmm. And for the first 6 to 9 months after we got him that for Christmas, he refused to use the mini on a regular basis because it was smaller than the one we got his sister. And he wanted a big one. So he would only use mine. He would not use the mini. We had to like coerce him over and over. No, please use this one's yours. Use yours. And he'd be very upset. No, that one's not mine. It's too small. Spoiled brat. I know. He finally accepted it. And now he uses both of them. He still claims mine on a regular basis, but he accepts his, and it is his, and he uses it all the time. And it was a very good investment. It's not just give them the iPad and they get out of your hair. And I know people use it that way, but honestly, and I'm not going to pretend like, ooh, educational games, blah, blah, blah. Although there are plenty.
He does use plenty of those.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, they don't have to be games that are made to be educational. My son was doing train simulator games when he was the age of your son right now. And, over a year ago now, he discovered Minecraft. And just by manipulating those games in the way they're designed to be manipulated, you learn tons, all kinds of things about spatial reasoning, about planning, about whatever. And there are all kinds of awesome, like, alphabet and counting and math games and all that kind of stuff, too. There are some that suck as well, but there are a bunch of good ones out there. And he's completely proficient at it. He goes, does whatever he wants. And, you know, there are all these people who say, you know, limit screen time, blah, 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 blah. I honestly think that that advice is really, really out of date. And I know that there's studies being done on it, blah, blah. But, you know, it's not a matter of plopping your kid in front of a TV where all they do is sit there and watch. It's very interactive. They learn all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of manipulation they can do, all kinds of skills they develop. And yes, and as long as you have some variety here, you know, I'm not necessarily saying, you know, all they do, you let them do iPad, you know, 15 hours a day and nothing else. But, you know, you're playing outside, you do iPad, you do this. And for the most part, kids will regulate themselves. And, you know, I don't know. I think, and the one other thing I'll say about this, and I've said this on the show before, this is one of my pet peeves. You know, people have done studies that say, you know, if you are really in depth into the, even these like sort of learning games and stuff like that, then you won't react as well in a traditional classroom when you get to it because it's so fucking boring. I mean, the studies don't put it that way, but come on, let's get real. If you're used to learning things by a dynamic, interactive, one-on-one interaction where you can do something and immediately see the reaction to it, is it any wonder that you get into a classroom where somebody's droning at the front of the classroom for an hour and you're supposed to like just pay attention and write down what they do, that you're going to be bored? Duh. And I don't necessarily see that as a problem with the technology. I see that as a problem with,
teachers that suck.
Yeah. Teaching skills have to keep up, you know? And you know, the styles of teaching, that may have done fine, you know, 10, 20, 30, 100 years ago are not going to work the same when you get a 5-year-old who's already completely proficient with their iPad and has already been spending, you know, several years doing, you know, all kinds of tasks that, you know, have developed all sorts of different skills, but not necessarily in the order that has been traditionally defined, where first you learn your alphabet and then you learn your counting and then you learn this and then you learn that. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily come in the same order. I mean, you know,
Well, by the way, I got him a mini, and I got him a mini not because it was cheaper or anything. I actually, it's because, yeah, he's a little kid, and I see him actually. Look, he plays with our phones all the time. Yeah. Okay, all right. So he likes the phones, and so he likes the iPad as well. But I know that you know, I see him trying to carry them. Regular size iPad, and he struggles a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah, it's big.
Well, I mean, so, that's the logic we had too. It's just he rejected it once he had it. He was like, "What the hell? You gave her a big one and me a small one. That's not fair."
Well, since he doesn't have a sister or brother, I'm expecting that's not going to be that much of an issue.
Yeah, like I said, my kid's a spoiled brat. You know, we gave him a goddamn iPad, and all he could do was a bitch because he got the smaller one. What the hell? Like I said, eventually you accepted it. Anyway, one of my pet peeves, I think you should let kids absorb as much as they can of the technology of the day, because in the end, you know, it's going to be a significant part of their lives. And I know, like, people who are like 40 are like, I didn't have an iPad when I was a kid. And
I'm sorry. I had a laptop. So fuck you.
I didn't say laptop. I said iPad.
Well, they didn't exist.
I know. That's the point.
I mean, you know, how can you have something that doesn't exist?
Well, and that's exactly the point. Lots of adults are like, I didn't need all this technology. I did better without this technology.
Didn't exist. You know, when they were like, listen, when they were kids, there were TVs. I'm sure that their previous guys didn't even have a TV or a radio maybe in the house. Right. What, did they want to go back to that?
Wants. Yeah, exactly. I mean, utilize the technology. I mean, if you see your kid, you know, getting so lost in it that they're losing the rest of the world
he got an iPad and he plays with it all the time. And I mean, look, I let him play with it for a while. And after if he's not stopping, after I think he's played enough, I just go and I say, that's enough time. Here you go. You're done. Go do something else. and he'll go do something else, and that's it.
Yeah, so. I don't know. Like I said, for the most part, I think most kids, this may be different kid to kid, but I think most kids will self-regulate. They will, at a certain point, they will decide it's time to move on to something
else. I just
else.
Prefer, you know, whatever. I'm like, you know, after I think he's done enough of it, I just like him doing something else. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll start, you know, lightning rounding through things. So enjoy this wonderful message. Okay, we are back.
Okay.
So now we don't have to do all the 2016 things together. We can just start the topics and see what happens. So you want to pick something to start with?
No, let's start with the 2016. Well, okay, so what do you want to start with? You pick first.
I pick first. Okay, well, I will start with a 2016 thing that is actually a couple weeks ago, but we didn't mention. It's the issue of Black Lives Matter, and specifically both Bernie Sanders and Martin O'Malley had an issue where they were addressing a crowd of Black Lives Matter activists, or there were more activists than that, but the Black Lives Matter people were protesting and took over the event and blah, blah, blah. And both of these candidates got in trouble for coming back and saying something along the lines of, all lives matter, and getting a lot of criticism for that. And a lot of people, don't understand and are like, well, yeah, of course all lives matter. But so why are people getting upset when we say that? And so just to clarify for those who don't get it, there were a number of really good, analogies, here. But like one that I saw was somebody was saying, okay, you're at a table and people are handing out, you know, it's a party and they're handing out the slices of cake or whatever. And they hand them out to everybody except one guy. And the one guy who doesn't get cake says, I should get cake. And then the guy handing out the cake says, everybody should get cake. And
yeah, including this guy. So, yeah.
Right. But the point is that the one guy, everybody else did get cake. The one guy didn't. And so there's an implicit two at the end of the statement. Black Lives Matter two. You know, it's not said explicitly, but the whole point of that movement and that saying is that we've got an issue where historically and even with current events, Black lives don't get the same attention as everybody else. Everybody, you don't need to say white lives matter because the whole society acts with that assumption anyway. By saying Black Lives Matter, you're pointing out the deficiency and the problem. And if you respond to it by saying all lives matter, well, okay, what you're saying is true, but you're denying the importance of the problem that's being pointed out by the statement. The problem
that I would say that you're denying the scope of the problem that you're having the treatment of like Black lives like they don't matter.
Right, but what you're doing is you're changing somebody's statement about a specific problem that they're pointing out and highlighting, mm-hmm. and trying to generalize it into a large scale thing that doesn't pay attention to the specific problem they're looking at it. Another example that people pointed out is, you know, the people who are going around saying save the whales aren't saying screw all the other animals. So you don't respond to save the whales by yes, save all animals. You know, it's that statement of trying to move it to the more general level is acting as, whether you want it to or not, it's acting as a repudiation of the point the people are trying to make. Because the point,
so they don't say fuck the rest of the animals. No, we just no.
No. And I've just been seeing this play out and seeing the specifically, of course, on the Democratic side, because the Republicans, of course, are completely tone deaf to these kinds of issues.
Right. They don't give a shit.
But the problem here is even like people like Bernie Sanders and O'Malley, who are, you know, trying to position themselves on the left side of the spectrum, have shown themselves to sort of not be in tune with the issues of this particular movement, which has been growing and becoming more important as we've been highlighting all of these issues with police violence and all of these things that have been happening over the last year, or especially since Ferguson. I mean, they've been happening
they've been happening for a long
time. No, what I've said... that have been highlighted. The highlighting is the thing, because if you look at statistics, if you look at actual math, you know, and look at these numbers, we are better off than we were 10 years, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. All of these problems have actually improved. But the point of this movement is to say that, look, maybe things did improve, but we've still got a hell of a problem here. And, you know, we should pay attention to it. And when you try to move it from Black Lives Matter to All Lives Matter, you're kind of saying, yeah, okay, but we don't really have to pay attention to it as a specific problem confronting the black community. We can just talk about, you know, this larger, we can just talk about police violence, or we can talk about murder. We don't have to talk about the specific racial disparity that's there that, you know, is provable. And so that's the issue with that. And I just thought it was very interesting how that dynamic played out. And that's probably all I have to say about that right now. So next, your turn this time.
Okay. So what about more Trump stuff? What did he do this week? He keeps doing more crazy stuff.
Well, there are a couple things from this week. The two that I have written down are, one, his lawyer, somebody brought up the fact that in a biography of Trump from a number of years ago, there were allegations that during divorce proceedings with his wife, one of his wives, I guess, she accused him of raping her at some point during the process. And
oh, Jesus. Okay.
And Trump's lawyer responded by saying, ha, that's not even possible. You can't rape your spouse.
Okay.
Which is no longer true. That actually was the law in many states until surprisingly recently, like the 80s. There was a spousal exception that basically said if it's your wife,
you could beat the shit out of her, do whatever.
You could beat the shit out of her,
sexually assault her,
whatever.
Didn't matter.
Because you know, according to the older laws, it was still like, wife is your property. You can do with her what you please. Luckily, that whole thing has pretty much gone out the window. It is now illegal to rape your wife in all 50 states.
Well, there you go.
Now, of course, Trump later said the lawyer wasn't speaking for him, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. So that was one thing. And so, like, a lot of Democrats were sort of rubbing their hands together saying, oh, really? Really? Can we make spousal rape an issue in this election where the Republicans are going to somehow defend it and say it's okay to rape your wife? Is that what they want to do? But, you know, Trump did back away from that fairly quickly. Now,
at least he backed away on something.
Now, it's still...
Well, now he didn't say it himself.
Now,
so, okay.
Yeah, he didn't say it himself. It was, like, his lawyer or whatever. But now we still have the issue of, like, these allegations, did they really happen in the first place? Apparently, the ex-wife has also backed away from the statements at this point. I don't know what happened during the divorce proceedings. We know all kinds of crazy things can happen during divorce proceedings.
Oh,
who knows? The other thing that was brought up is he was on some sort of radio show run by the Palins and was asked the question of, would there be a space for Sarah Palin in a Trump administration? And he said, yes. Said
yes.
He said yes.
I know. I was like, really? And what was the other? Oh, God. I just had it at the tip of my head. He did this other thing. What was the other thing that he was talking about? He did the Palin thing. He did that.
Oh. Was there more? Did Trump do more?
Yes, he did a whole bunch. Oh, God. I just added up. I was about to say it before you said the Palin thing, and it just escaped my brain.
You have a brain?
God. Yeah, I do. Oh. Fuck! I can't remember. Look, I'll go back.
He has said that he plans on being polite and respectful in the debates.
He's not going to call people like, you know, stupid like stuff and, you know, make fun of like, I mean, I thought, you know, the fun thing would be make fun of Perry's glasses or like,
I honestly don't think he's going to be able to help himself. I mean, he's just naturally a jackass, but you know, I saw one person on Twitter and God knows who it was. It just flew by. I didn't even retweet it. I don't think, but, who said basically, look, wouldn't it be the master troll thing of the century if Trump shows up to the debate and he's actually intelligent, well-reasoned, calm, knows his facts, doesn't, you know, and basically is like an ideal model candidate and isn't throwing bombs left and right. I think that would be amusing as hell, but I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Ah. Well,
and of course, he is still number one in the polls. You know, like there were a lot of people after he made the McCain comments that were like, you know, this is the beginning of the end. He's going to go downhill, blah, blah, blah. So far, since the McCain comments, he is actually up significantly in the polls. There's a significant group of people who love this stuff. Love what he's doing. They're, when they ask people specifically about, well, why do you support Trump? It has a lot to do with, you know, he doesn't pull punches. He says what he thinks. He's willing to say things that are politically incorrect, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And basically that he doesn't, you know, he's not taking any bullshit and he's just giving it out and going after people and being aggressive. And they like that.
But the one thing right now is that all the PAC money and all the, it's just lining up against them. And look, they're not firing yet because it's way too early. But dude, when it gets down to dirty to Iowa, I mean, there is not going to be a single, like, you know, like what the thing that I finally remembered what the hell it was. It was this whole thing about the pro-choice and now he's not. Came out also this week. Okay. And like stuff like this.
And I mean, also, by the way, they've been talking about how he's donated lots of money to the Clintons and such in the past.
Exactly. And other, it's just, there is so much dirt to dig up on Trump. Okay. All right. Of all his poor business dealings, you know, this week, I mean, his casinos that have gone bankrupt, places that have gone bankrupt, et cetera, and so forth. I'm telling you, it's like, the money flow is really going towards Bush.
Well, I mean, I've said all along, follow the money, follow the money, follow the money. And the money is still going to Bush.
And all the money is going to Bush, and all the PACs are, like, lining up against this guy, and they still, obviously, offloaded on TV.
But look, I don't even think they need to, because here's what's going to happen. You know, even after this very first debate, there are going to be some people who gain no traction. We're up to 17 Republicans right now.
Who the hell else announced this week? I can't remember.
We talked about him last week, actually. What's his name? The ex-governor, Gilmore.
No, there was another one a day or two ago.
Kasich?
Was it Kasich? Was it after last show?
The two most recent were Kasich and Gilmore, both of which we mentioned last show.
We did?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, but the point is there's 17 of them right now. There, of those 17, seven of them aren't even going to make it into the first big debate. They're going to have this separate kids table debate. And so guess what? A significant number of those are going to go into September having no traction whatsoever. Some of these folks are going to start dropping out. And what you're going to see is even if, like, let's say Trump doesn't drop. Let's say he takes the 25% support he's got right now and just sticks it right there at 25%. Well, the other guys, as you drop out, are going to, the ones that are left are going to go up.
Agreed.
You know, and so he is number one right now because there's no real front runner who's cleared the field like Hillary has on the Democratic side. You know, and so we've got this huge split over Trump plus 16 other candidates. And once you start having a few of those drop off, you're going to have consolidation. You're going to have and you are going to have like some of the big ones, the Bush, Rubio, Walker. Those folks are going to start consolidating some support. And yes, on top of that, there's no question that there's all kinds of stuff against Trump and it'll eventually come into play. Having said that, there's a huge part of the Republican base who's eating up that stuff. And every time you come out with a new one of these things is just like, you know, they're just after him and look at the way he defends himself. And isn't that awesome? Like, for instance, they brought up giving money to Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and all this kind of stuff, you know, and how did Trump respond? He's like, well, of course I did. Cause when you give politicians money, they do whatever the hell you want them to. And so I give everyone money.
Funny guy.
And of course, it's true. You know, that is why you give politicians money, is you hope for them to do stuff in return.
Right. Correct.
And yes. You know,
at least they have influence over what the hell they're going to do.
And
get
so,
an ear. Get time.
Yeah. And so anyway, we'll see how it plays out. I still think, you know, one of the questions here, and I saw some analysis again, sorry, I don't have the reference, where, look, you know, the thing that I've been predicting is we basically have the same scenario as 2008 and 2012, where we have, you know, Bush is playing the McCain and Romney role of the, you know, relative centrist. Now, there's a lot of conservative stuff in his record, but Bush is intentionally downplaying that and playing up the I'm the calm, centrist, rational guy, who nobody really, really likes. But then the Tea Party type folks don't consolidate about it around everybody. They split everything up. They divide themselves up. And when we get to the early primaries, what that means is none of them get very many delegates, while Bush slowly but surely racks them up. And then by the time you do consolidate out and only have one or two other guys in the race, it's too late. The lead has already been built. And I think that's the kind of thing we could see play out. The way that would not play out is if we have a much more rapid consolidation. Like if most
and
of
sometimes it happens relatively quick.
Yeah, I mean,
we got a lot of contests.
No,
that
but
are gonna
it,
be
it,
early.
No, it, no, it has to happen before that. The way you get it, the way you get a scenario where you don't have that
they run out of money.
Well, you run out of money, but like, look, if most of these 17 candidates are gone long before we actually get to Iowa, and I think at least half of these 17 will be gone before we even get to Iowa, I think you're gonna see that we have I just looked up the debate schedule a little while ago, and we basically have one debate a month starting in August, going forward to whenever, and I think even between here's a prediction. It's not our annual prediction show, but here's a prediction. Of the 17 Republican candidates, you will have some of them drop out between the August debate and the September debate. Even though not a vote has been cast anywhere in the world, you know, you will start seeing people drop out even after this first debate before the second one.
Well, especially I think the guys
and certainly by the third.
If they
certainly
don't,
by
they
the
don't
third.
Get on the they don't get on the debates. I mean, they're going to feel like completely left out. But listen,
yeah,
and I don't know. I mean, this field is so big, and people keep announcing, like, late. I mean, you're saying people would drop. Who do you think would drop first?
Well, I think you pegged it. I mean, we're talking about those people who are polling 0, 1, 2%.
Carly?
And she might stick it out a little bit longer. Look, I mean, here's the thing. Anybody who's polling that... You've got the multiple reasons for being in the race, of course. You've got the people who are trying to make a point about their issues. You got the people who actually think they're going to become president. You got the people who are essentially auditioning for the cabinet. The people who are auditioning for the cabinet may stick around a little while. The people who are trying to get their issues out will do it as long as they're getting visibility for their issue. But if they're being left out of all debates and ignored, then there's no point and they'll stop. You know, so I don't know. I think you'll see some starting to drop out. Like my prediction is at least one will drop out before the September debate. But I think you're going to start seeing more.
Well, look at the guy. Look at the guys who are alone. I mean, the thing is, like, for example, Pataki, Santorum. Santorum's not going to be a first dropper. Pataki's a potential 0.6. Fiorina, Jesus, she's stubborn like shit. I don't know. Jindal? Maybe?
Yeah. Look, we are not going to get to Iowa with 17 candidates. I would be shocked if we get to Iowa with 10 candidates.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to call... I'm sorry. But so, you know, so in gambling, this is called an over-under, okay?
Yeah.
I'm taking the over. It's going to be over 10.
You think... There will be more than 10 candidates actually actively competing in Iowa in January.
Yes.
I think it'll be under 10. We'll do that over and under 10. Okay. I think it will be less than 10 actively competing in Iowa come January.
I think at least I think at least over 10 will make Iowa. From 7, I don't see how
now,
7
I'm
are
not
drop.
I'm not talking about just being on the ballot. I'm talking about
active campaign. I don't think 7 are going to drop out before the first event. No way. I mean, you're talking about 40% of the candidates are going to drop before the first event.
I think
I'm sorry. You're going to tell me I don't think I've ever seen 40% of candidates drop before the first event ever.
Yeah, but we've never had this many.
True, but I don't think this many will drop out that quick. Usually they drop out after the first couple of contests quickly, not before the first contest. And I know there's 17, but I don't think that many will drop out before. Maybe one or two, but no way you're going to get that big a number dropping out. I don't think so.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back, and we've still got more election stuff, let alone other stuff on our agenda. We'll be back after this. Okay, is it my turn?
Yeah, well, no.
No, okay, go ahead.
I don't know, but what about the feedback that we got?
Oh, the feedback.
Yes.
Let me bring that back up. Because I closed it. Da 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 da. Oh, it was Sandra Bland.
Aha!
We got feedback again from our loyal listener Mark, asking if we'd talked about Sandra Bland and did he miss it? And he listens closely enough. He knows he didn't miss it. We did not talk about it last week. So Sandra Bland, of course, is yet another one of these cases where, in this case, a black woman was pulled over for failing to signal, and it looks like the officer essentially set up the situation for. He came up behind her quickly, and she got out of his way. And when she got out of his way, she didn't signal, and he came up quickly for no other reason. Than
to force them to get out of the way.
Right.
Right.
And so then the situation escalated because she was upset that he'd pulled him over in that way and did not hide the fact that she was upset.
She was upset, but she was not like,
she was not out of control or she was upset. She asked him,
he's the one that asked why she was upset.
And she told him, I keep messing up my genders. Yeah, right. and so she told him why she was upset, and then he asked her to put her cigarette out, and she asked why.
I'm in my car. Why can't I smoke?
Right, and basically at several points in this conversation, she brought up her rights. She said she was going to call her lawyer, whatever. And he orders her out of the car. She asks if she's under arrest, and if so, why? He refuses to answer. He just says, "Get out of the car! Get out of the car!" He threatens her with a taser. Then he drags her out of the car. Then apparently he pulled her over out of view of the camera in the car, and was a little rough with her. Exactly how rough is unclear. And then once she was booked and in jail, she apparently committed suicide. There was some controversy at first of, did she really commit suicide? Blah, blah, blah. The preponderance of the evidence at this point is she probably actually did commit suicide. But regardless, everyone also agrees she should never have been arrested for this. She did absolutely nothing worthy of an arrest. No, the police officer acted improperly at almost every stage of the interaction. Even when she was in jail, they weren't necessarily providing the right level of support that would have prevented a suicide, etc. And so this was... mishandled from beginning to end by the cop. This is also, it's yet another, it's a black woman. And so there's a significant racial aspect here as well, potentially, in terms of like, would he have really done this if it was a white woman in the car? Who knows? We don't know. But it's another one of these cases that people are bringing up as, you know, hey, look what happens here. Look what happens here.
I it's just, I mean, it's very, I mean, seeing that happen, I mean, just really, my God, it's so disheartening.
You mentioned on a previous show a situation where your brother talked back to the police and ended up in jail, right?
Yes, he did.
A few weeks ago, you mentioned that, many years ago. And
it was many, many years ago. And actually, he didn't talk. Look, he started talking back to the police after he got arrested. He actually had no interaction with the cop whatsoever.
Okay.
There were four of them in the car. They get asked out of the car. They hand their IDs. His three friends were from Indiana. He's the only guy with a Puerto Rico driver's license. They see the driver's license. They send everybody back. Remember, he wasn't even driving. He was a backseat passenger. And they said, "You three can go. You're coming with us." And he's like, "Why? Public intoxication." He's like, "What?" And that's where he got, like, you know, upset.
Anyway, you know? The point is, though, that we've got, apparently, an overall police culture that, first of all, these kinds of things happen with a lot more frequency to black people than to anybody else. But even besides that, there's this culture of, I don't know, like, of escalation. Like, the right response by a police officer in that situation is, "I'm sorry you're having a bad day, ma'am. Here's your ticket. Goodbye."
Yes. That's it. And I, you know what? I am pretty sure that I have talked to a police officer over something I've gotten like that. I am pretty sure.
And look, the point is,
there was this one time, and I actually now remember specifically. It happened to me in Ohio specifically, where I got pulled over and was given a ticket for doing 60 in a 55.
Yeah.
And I actually thought I was doing the limit on purpose that morning. Okay. Unlike most of the time. And I'm like, and it was at 6 a.m. on a freaking Sunday. And I'm like, looking at the guy, I'm like, why? Well, we have a zero tolerance policy in this state. And I'm pretty sure that I did not respond in the kindest way to this moron. And I did not wind up being tasered and arrested.
Right. Where, you know, if your skin tone had been a little bit darker,
yeah,
who knows?
Exactly.
And that's a problem. That's a big problem. And yeah, and I mean, this should be, all of this kind of stuff should be basic police training. But the problem is that's not what we have. That's not the kind of people we get. You know, there should be constant evaluation to try to look for implicit bias, as well as, you know, there's plenty of explicit bias, but there's also a known problem at this point of implicit bias with where people who don't aren't even aware that they have sort of racial biases or other sorts of biases, but we're primarily talking race right now. But that if you test them, they still react in a differential way. So there should be actual counter programming to that going on constantly. And there should be de-escalation training going on constantly. Like in all of these kinds of situations, you know, people say, well, you know, if you're in an encounter with the police, you have to be super, super polite, do everything they tell you about. And if there's a problem, if they're doing something wrong, if they're violating your rights, you sit there and take it. And then you complain about it later with a lawyer. Okay. Okay, I can understand that as practical advice, but the fact that you have to give that advice indicates the depth of the problem, because the police themselves, more so than anybody else, should be aware of just what the people's rights are in those situations and should not be violating them in the first place. You know, the police shouldn't be trying to entrap people to you know, not use their turn signal when they get out of the way of the police car. They should not be, you know, taking some, I mean, it was almost like this police officer was looking to find something to pick on this woman for, you know, and no. The police should be the ones de-escalating the situation. The police should be the ones saying, you know, letting people go. And even if there's something problem, you know, hey, write down their damn license plate, get them later. If you have to, like, I was listening to a podcast. I actually tweeted, on car chases and how much more damage is done by the chases themselves through deaths to innocent bystanders. And most of the car chases are not after, you know, murderers who are about to murder again or something like that. It's some stupid traffic violation and where, you know, the guy decides to run because they're stupid. Okay. And you end up killing people, and the, you know, the right reaction has to be, okay, we got their license, we'll pick them up later. Why are we escalating the situation into a chase? Why are we pulling weapons on people? We talked a number of months ago about that guy who was wanted for child support or something, and the police shot him because he ran. It's like, no.
I know.
You let him go and you find him another time. He's not dangerous. You shouldn't be shooting him, even if he's running. You know? Okay. Next up, now it is your turn.
Well, now it is my turn.
Yeah, yeah. You did two in a row, really, but whatever. Doesn't matter. Pick.
Cecil the Lion.
Cecil the Lion. Poor Cecil the Lion.
I'm still, you know, look, I understand hunting for food. I get that. But, oh, let me just go out and kill an animal just for fun. I'm sorry. I just don't get it.
I'm completely with you there. I mean, even killing the animals for food is like, you know, do you have to? Like, I guess you do.
The reality is, yes.
Well, I mean, unless you're a vegetarian, the animal's getting killed anyway. But presumably, even then, you know, I would hope that it's a little bit cleaner a death in a slaughterhouse than, you know, shooting the animal and letting him bleed to death.
Yeah.
But It might not be, you know, honestly, I'm slowly becoming more and more of a vegetarian over the years because, you know, the more you learn about exactly how these things happen, the more, I don't know. Anyway, but, yeah, like hunting for pure pleasure, even if you can justify some other forms of hunting. Yeah, I don't get it all. 'Cause to me, it just seems like taking the pleasure in killing something. And that's the difference to me, is like, it's one thing if you're killing something because you need it to eat. It's completely different if you're doing it for the pleasure of the kill.
Right.
You know, as multiple people have pointed out, if it's the pleasure, if it's the hunt itself, if it's of tracking the animal and finding the animal and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Take a picture of it.
Right. You know?
You get all the same tracking experience if you try to get close enough to take a good picture of the animal, right? You know, but
if, I mean, it's even like the hunting is even worse than the fish. I mean, because the fishing, I mean, you got a lot of people that do catch and release, right? Mm-hmm. At least they're not fucking killing the fish. Maybe they're hurt a little bit, but they're not, you know, they're not fucking killing the damn fish. They're going and releasing them out.
In this particular case, there was more than that, of course. This particular lion lived in a protected game park. It was a collared lion. It was a well-known lion that had a name and was somewhat famous. And it's illegal to hunt on the actual nature preserve, but these aren't fenced nature preserves.
I know, that's what I saw. Yeah.
These aren't fenced nature preserves. So what he did was he went right outside the border of the nature preserve and hung up a big rack of meat.
Right.
And waited for the lion to leave and then shot it. It's like, is that even sporting?
No, not particularly, no.
You know, I've seen lots of people say, you know, if this is actually a sport, give the animals weapons. You know, but and of course, what also in this case, I believe he initially shot it with a crossbow. And then tracked it over quite a few hours as it was, you know, slowly bleeding in pain, injured, whatever, before actually eventually shooting it, beheading it, getting the head ready for the trophy. It's unclear whether or not he actually violated any laws or whether he successfully exploited a loophole. But the other interesting part of the case, I have no sympathy for this guy. And of course, you know, it's not like this is the only lion killed in this way. Big game trophy hunting is a big sport, quote unquote sport. Lots of people do it. Lots of animals are killed every year. This one is getting attention because it had a name. The other interesting part of this, though, is we've got another case of sort of the internet vigilante mob going after this guy. He was rapidly identified. He's a dentist. He has a dental practice. People started leaving bad reviews of his dental practice on Yelp.
Yes.
People published his address. He had to shut down the dental practice. So everybody who works there also out of a job, by the way, not just him. They have posted his address. They've been harassing him in various ways. He's been getting death threats. All kinds of things here. And so this is also brings up the whole question of, okay, whether or not you think he did something wrong, is this the right way to deal with it?
I don't think so. No.
I mean, there are several investigations that have been launched. If there are criminal charges to be brought, they will be brought either by Zimbabwe or the United States. Apparently, he may have violated U.S. law by going there to do this. But, you know, it's the internet lynch mob is worrying because on the one hand, you know, certain people are like, oh, this is really, really bad when it's like the gamer gators going after women in the tech industry. But, oh, OK, but they were bad because they were in the wrong. But now this time this dentist is wrong. So this is just fine. And I think that's a very dangerous double standard because you never know when the internet mob is going to be aimed at you, you know, because there's always going to be somebody who's upset by anything that anybody.
Right, and you know, and sometimes the whole thing is that look, I mean, it's tough to ascertain all the facts. Look, I'm not saying that this guy is not innocent, that this guy is innocent or something or whatever. But the reality is, a lot of times we don't get the facts right.
Well, if you remember, one example of this was in the aftermath of the Boston bombing.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Reddit tried to find the bombers.
Right.
And they fingered the wrong guy.
Right.
Yeah, and they posted his picture and said, this is the guy, right. We're going to go after him, blah, blah. And it turns out, no, that guy was completely innocent.
Right.
Had nothing to do with anything. And meanwhile, you know, the worst he got is some harassment. But, you know, you could easily have seen somebody.
It could have been 10 times worse.
Well, somebody could have taken it into their own hands and just decided to execute him.
Yes.
You know, he's the bomber. I'm going to go shoot him.
Right.
You know, and oops, wrong guy. Yep. You know, and it's only a matter of time till one of these situations does end up escalating like that. I mean, you know, and you got, you know, some of these, you can play with this one's more justified than that one. And maybe this guy is guilty and that one's not and blah, blah, blah. But the problem is, the right way to do these things is not by sort of mob action. And I don't think we're getting away from it. I mean, you also have like these people like the what's her name that posted the racist tweet and then flew to South Africa, you know, and then by the time she got there, she'd lost her job and was an internet celebrity.
I remember this. Yes.
And of course, later she said, oh, I meant it as a joke and blah, blah, blah. And anybody who knows me knows that I wasn't serious, blah. Well, too bad, you know, her life is over, you know. And there's a rush to judgment, and maybe she deserved it. Maybe she didn't. But the problem is the internet pylon doesn't care. It's happening and it's over before you actually have the chance to actually really carefully examine what the hell's going on. Dangerous.
Yes. Well, all right. So anyway, mob, we did. Okay.
Okay.
Kill the lion. Anyway. No, that's probably not going to prove popular. Okay, all right.
No. Okay. No. Just to get back to the 2016 stuff for a second, it got two other things on 2016. One, Clinton email was in the news again. Two factors. One, there's a judge that's been saying that the State Department has been too slow releasing things. Another analysis showed that some of what was in Hillary Clinton's mail was indeed classified, and not just classified after the fact, but was classified at the time it was sent. And so that's being brought up again. I still don't see, frankly, any smoking guns here that are going to result in anything more for her than has already happened.
But it goes back to the,
but people, the one thing look, is it's
we
just
go
a
back
drip,
to the fact
drip,
that
drip.
The only Secretary of State that had a fucking email that's been from the government has been
Kerry. Yeah, which is, of course, after Clinton.
Right. So the thing is that I'm like, great. So, you know, we're going all over her email, like she had classified stuff or whatever. Why aren't we going after every other Secretary of State before?
Because she's running for president and they're not.
I guess.
I mean, it really is that simple, you know, but, you know, that doesn't mean that the ones before her were any less stupid.
Right.
But
they're all stupid.
I think what we've come to the conclusion on this, and the thing with the latest hacks on the management office or whatever it's called, also point this out. One, the government is woefully backwards in technology.
Yep.
And B, yes, Clinton was stupid.
Yes.
You know, this is nothing but a festering, self-inflicted wound that is going to continue to follow her until the day she is swears herself in as president.
Okay.
Or I guess somebody would swear to Chief Justice or whatever. But you know what I mean. This is going to follow her. And the one thing is, you know, people keep saying it's a drip, drip, drip. Things keep coming out. And maybe it slowly weakens her over time. But, you know, a lot more has to happen than has happened so far before it gets to the point where she's weak enough that, you know, Biden's going to jump in or something, you know?
Biden. Well, Anyway. All
right, okay, the other one I was going to mention is Huckabee's comments about the ovens.
Ovens. What did he say about the ovens?
Huckabee compared Obama's role in the Iran deal and said he's essentially just, you know, opening the doors for the ovens for the Jews to be put in.
I heard a little bit, something like vaguely.
That's paraphrasing. I don't have the exact words. And he's doubled down on it. So like people, including a lot of the other Republicans, are like, okay, look, no, that's just not the analogy you make here. But he's doubled down on it. He's repeated his comments.
Now he sees like Trump saying crazy shit and getting up in the polls. I guess maybe he's thinking that that's his way to get up, get his polling numbers up.
It's like, you know, everybody's been paying attention to Trump. How do you get attention yourself? You say crazy shit.
Right.
You know, and then of course, Lindsey Graham or somebody, in his comments, saying that Huckabee had gone too far with his oven comments, in the same breath, said that, well, no, Obama's not opening the doors to the oven, but he is, you know, Neville Chamberlain giving away Czechoslovakia or something like that.
Oh, God, Jesus Christ. What a bunch of morons. Anyway, all right.
Anyway.
Okay, enough.
So we got those two. Your turn again. Actually, let's take a break, and then we'll come back for another turn for you.
Okay.
Back after this.
Thank you for using your conference account information.
Okay, here we are. Your turn.
Well, it looks like we finally found a piece of a Malaysia Airlines 370.
Yep.
You know,
we haven't found the plane yet, but we found a piece. It's from a 777. They haven't confirmed yet that it for sure is from this plane, but it seems like surely the most likely scenario.
You go back. Listen, there haven't been that many 777s crashing ever. Okay, all right. If it's a piece of a 777, it's got to be from this one.
That is the most likely scenario, yes.
That is the only scenario.
Someone could have bought a spare part for a 747, intentionally distressed it, and put it there as a plant. I'm not saying that's likely. I'm just saying...
Now that's true, okay? All right?
I don't know
if you looked at the pictures up close of all the barnacling and all the stuff that stuck to it. That piece was in the ocean for over a year.
Yeah. Anyway, you know,
all
I'm saying,
it is almost certainly
part of the plane.
It is almost certainly part of the plane. Now, of course,
they're going to try to confirm that. You'd think presumably there's a serial number on there somewhere that they can track.
There is. Okay. So yes, all the parts have, you know,
so we should have confirmation of that in a few days.
That's correct. Yes. Okay.
And, you know, so we haven't found the plane yet, but we found evidence that it probably indeed crashed
into
the ocean.
Went down where we had believed that it did.
Right. And so this will hopefully put the end to the it secretly landed in Kazakhstan kind of theories.
Yeah. Unless you think as part of the plan, they went and they took a piece off the plane and then flew it down, dropped it off in the ocean.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It landed in Kazakhstan. Then they took a piece of the wing and they planted it.
They planted it in the ocean, let it float for the last 14 months, 15 months, whatever.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yes.
Just like how they planted in the Hawaiian newspapers, like, you know, 50 years ago, whatever, the headlines, the little like blurbs that Obama was born.
Yes, exactly. You understand.
Everything was planned in advance in order to have our Manchurian candidate.
It's all Putin.
Right. Yes.
Putin did it all.
He did it all.
Anyway, I'm actually surprised a bit by this. Like, if you remember, I was saying that, yeah, they might get lucky, which I guess they have, but I didn't really expect them to find anything for a long, long time.
This was about the right time, I expect. I mean, you know, look, there had been projected models about how the debris would float. I mean, I expected at some point something had to wash up somewhere. And I thought it would be around, I'd said year and a half was my thought. You know, I don't know if I said it on the show, but this is my thought. I said, you know, look, it won't be before 2 years. Something's got to float up somewhere. Okay, all right. But finding it in the ocean, I mean, it's fucking so difficult. I mean, you know, the area is so big, and the worst part is we were looking in the wrong place for so long in the first place.
Yeah.
If we would have been looking in the right place at first, it probably would have been a lot easier, but. The weather was terrible. We were looking in the wrong place. Then we finally got to the right place. By that time, you know, stuff had moved. Tougher to track. You know, the area where it could have gone to gets a lot wider. But it's, you know.
Okay.
It confirms that the analysis that was seems to have been correct.
Okay, my turn. I watched a movie.
And?
Well, I've been trying with my son to we did Star Wars a few weeks ago, if you remember. Then we did the Star Wars holiday special. And now we're trying to...
We don't have
to talk about it for a third time. It sucks. Okay.
Yes. His family made it quite clear on social media postings that it was the worst minutes of their lives.
So now we've been trying to do Empire Strikes Back, but we haven't made it through yet. So that's not the movie I finished. I finished Thomas and Friends: The Adventure Begins with my son, which is the latest, most recent Thomas movie, which came out in March, but we just watched it now. And it is it's the 80th anniversary of Thomas and whatever. And so it was sort of a prequel going back to the very beginning when Thomas first arrived on Sodor. And
wow.
Yes. And it was a Thomas movie. So,
wow.
And actually I don't mind this latest series of Thomas movies. They're okay. They're entertaining. I will watch them with my 5-year-old. Would I watch them all by myself? Probably not, but you know, maybe. I don't know.
I don't like the damn Thomas.
Yeah, people sometimes have a fairly negative reaction to Thomas.
I don't particularly like Thomas.
And
my son's favorite movie right now is the movie Cars.
Yes, that was my son's favorite for years. Yeah, he loved that thing from about age 2 to about age 4. That was his favorite
movie. He liked Cars too?
Oh, son? Yeah. Nene McQueen.
Yeah,
there you go. That was one of his favorite things. Even before he was into trains, he was into Lightning McQueen.
I'm surprised.
So that was before he was 2, actually. So I guess it was like
my son doesn't just like the actual cars. The funniest thing is that, you know, when we took him to the racetrack when I went racing a couple of weeks ago, he couldn't get enough of the actual real race cars, you know.
Yeah, because my son was so into cars and the movie and the racing and blah, 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 a couple times, even though I'm not into it at all, I put on, like, you know, car races when they were on TV, and he couldn't care less. So,
my son, totally the opposite. He was like, oh, my God. He was like jumping up and down looking at the cars racing. He really loved that.
Okay, so, your turn.
My turn.
If you don't have one, I still have a whole list.
Well, I went through multiple times myself, so why don't you try one?
Okay. Just a quick note, because in June we passed a milestone and we forgot to note it. The beginning of June was our eighth. We finished our eighth year of Curmudgeon's Corner. So we've now been doing this show over 8 years, and it just seemed worth pointing out. We pointed out when we hit our 400th show, but we didn't do anything special for our eighth year. But, you know, we're 8 years into this show, which shows quite a lot of stamina, I must say.
This is a world of insanity. What are the other things?
Yeah, one of those.
What about the car? So you didn't hear today another subject. So some people managed to hack OnStar.
Okay. In the same way as that hack we were talking about last week?
No. The thing is, OnStar allows you to do remotely, like to turn on a car, turn it off, open it, whatever, do a couple of things, whatnot. So they managed to do a couple of things like that. But apparently, all it allows you to do is to turn off the car remotely, turn it off. GM apparently already launched an over-the-air update to the software to patch it. But I guess more of that is, I mean, I guess, you know, like we were talking about security, I guess they really didn't think about that too much when they were designing some of this nonsense.
Yep.
So that was, so that's that. Let's see. You want me to pick something else?
Sure. And then I'll go, but you can do one more.
What about the tech earnings?
Okay, now, a whole bunch of companies released earnings. What's the overall picture without getting into all of them individually, I guess?
Well, we got Facebook showed substantial growth in advertising, which I think a lot of people were surprised by the amount of the growth. Not the expected growth. It's just the numbers were quite growth. On the negative side, that Samsung was just getting absolutely just crushed. I mean, they just are not being able to properly respond to the changes in the market, they're just getting leveled. I mean, one of the things that I heard was that they way overestimated how many regular Galaxy S6s they would be selling versus the Galaxy 6 Edge, the one with the screen on the, you know, with the curves on the side. Mm-hmm. And so they're super short on the Edge ones, and they're like swimming in inventory on the other ones, which is a problem. Google did apparently pretty well in the earnings. I think they grabbed the new CFO, and I've been pounding the table on Google not having any financial discipline before, and you know, they got rid of filing Motorola and all that nonsense and whatever, and apparently now they're like having more discipline and not just acting like drunken sailors at a party. So I guess those are the highlights that I got about that. I don't know if you saw anything interesting.
Yeah, but speaking of tech companies, let's do this one. Windows 10 came out this week.
Windows 10 came out this week, and one of the things they announced is oh, we brought back the start button.
Really?
Yep.
I thought they did that last time around.
No, they got rid of it.
I thought they got rid of it two releases ago, and then they brought it back last time.
They
and
brought it back was a half-assed way that they did it. It wasn't fully there. Okay. So now I just brought it completely back.
Yeah, this is, again, I have not used Windows on any sort of regular basis since XP. So I'm way out of date on Windows stuff.
I will admit that. Well, I'm using I use 7 on my work laptop. Okay, definitely not 8. So I don't know. I've seen some of these people using 8.
And there is no 9. They skipped to 10.
Right. They just skipped to 10. Yeah.
Heard a lot of excitement here. I mean,
there's been none.
I admit I'm not a Windows person, so I don't follow the Windows press, but I would have expected everything to be blanketed with this thing. And instead I just sort of saw, it's out now.
They're giving it away.
Right. Well, so does Apple at this point. They give away theirs.
Well, I realize that, but Apple actually sells the hardware.
Right.
So, now, I mean, Microsoft has gotten a lot more into the hardware game, but I will look to a certain extent as well. I think that Microsoft future doesn't lie so much in the damn OS anymore. I mean, it's really the applications, and they have a lot of them. I mean, and I use them, and so do you. So yeah. Does everybody. So I think that as long as they keep their applications healthy, which they have, and innovative, they'll be fine. I mean, I think that the whole thing about the OS is just a change in the business where that was a big revenue stream, and it's not going to be so much in the future anymore. just, it is what it is.
Okay. My next one, I finished a book as well.
Jesus,
a movie and a book.
I have not watched a movie or finished a book in, like, I don't know how long.
So this was an audio book again. I finished the Autobiography of Mark Twain, Volume 1.
Now, that sounds interesting.
It's not.
No?
Well, I should... It is. It is. It is interesting. It started out badly, but it got better. So first of all, I listened to this on audiobook. It's not one I read physically. The first few hours of the audiobook were explanations of how the material was collected for this autobiography.
Oh, that's right.
And how
annoying.
It was assembled, well, and what was left in and what was not.
Well, what, that's stupidly annoying.
So the interesting part here is basically in the last, when he was an old man, Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, had tried multiple times to write an autobiography, and he basically gave up on the idea of writing one per se and said, you know what I'll do? I will dictate my thoughts, and I will stipulate that this should not be published until 100 years after my death.
Wow.
So this was published in 2010, 2011-ish. And excerpts of it were published before. He allowed that certain parts of it could be published earlier. But basically, he said, the only way that I can be absolutely sure to be able to tell as much of the truth as possible, and even then I can't tell the whole truth, is to make sure everybody I'm talking about is dead. And their children are dead. So I'm not going to be offending anybody, right?
Very smart. Like, usually, you know, witty and very smart man.
Yeah. So, and then the other thing he said is, like, you know, people try to put these in chronological order, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, that's bullshit. I'm just going to ramble and talk about whatever the fuck I want in whatever order I want. And I'll go back and forth, whatever strikes my fancy today. So what this is, and by the way, this is volume one out of a 3-volume set.
Okay.
And it was like 20 hours, 26 hours, something like that on audiobook. And basically all this is an old man rambling and sometimes he's talking about what happened to him that week. Sometimes he's talking about what happened to him when he was a kid. Sometimes he's talking about some guy that pissed him off while he was in the 20s and how awful that person is. Sometimes he's talking about politics and, you know, he didn't particularly like President Roosevelt, not the first Roosevelt, not the second Roosevelt.
Yeah, he was dead by the second Roosevelt.
Yes, yes. And look, he's a witty guy. Some of this actually was fairly entertaining. I sort of got into the rhythm of it by the end, but it really was slow to start out. Will I do volume two eventually? Probably, but you know, it took some doing. That, like, normally when I listen to audiobooks, I listen to audiobooks on my I listen to podcasts on my way to work on my commute. And I listened to audiobooks on my way home. I couldn't make it my whole drive home every time. I did half my drive on the audiobook, and then I switched to music or something. Because it was the kind of stuff that by, you know, I could take about a half hour at a time of, not an hour at a time of. But, you know, it was okay. Anyway, that's my book.
All right. Let's see. I don't know. We've run already quite a long time. We want to, like,
only on our fourth segment, and we usually do five, but let's take another break.
Okay.
We'll take a break, and we'll be back in a few more things to wrap it up. Back after this. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show.
I've run out of stuff.
Yes, Alex? Okay, bye.
Okay. I've run out of stuff on my list.
Well, I've got a couple more things.
All right.
Hey, here we go. One, we mentioned the Cuban embassy did open. We've got diplomatic relations with Cuba again. Not much else to say about that, just noting that it happened. And now the next move is to actually start dropping sanctions. And we'll see, you know.
Oh, I thought you just say dropping bombs, but okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm not John McCain.
Okay, all right, just check it.
But that'll take a while longer, and it will be harder politically to happen. But I think it's, you know, we're on that road. Next, I wanted to mention, we are now on Stitcher. I'll probably make a post on Facebook about this as well. You know, Stitcher is one of the major apps that people use to listen to podcasts.
But apparently the damn app doesn't handle a fucking apostrophe too well.
Yeah. So what I found out is if you go into Stitcher and search on Curmudgeon's Corner, you won't find us. If you search on Curmudgeon, you won't find us. You will find us if you search on Corner and scroll down, 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 down. It turns out the apostrophe just confuses the search, I guess. So neither Curmudgeons with an apostrophe or Curmudgeon without the apostrophe will actually find our show. I will share on our Facebook page, and we'll probably tweet as well, the direct link to us on Stitcher. So if, for whatever reason, Stitcher is your favorite podcast app, we are now on there. It's just a little challenging to find us because I guess they have an issue with apostrophes.
They have a bug.
I guess. I don't know. I'll probably eventually put a support ticket in on it. I don't know. See what they say. But anyway.
Gee whiz. Maybe we could fix our search because we're more, a couple of morons.
Yeah. And anyway, Stitcher is one of those that, you know, you have to sort of, I had to submit an application to be included in Stitcher.
Uh-huh.
I guess their standards aren't too high or they wouldn't have let us in. But, you know, but, and so we'd never been in there before. A lot of others, you know, go off the iTunes directory. And I suppose you actually have to submit an application to get in iTunes as well. But a lot of other places just scrape the iTunes directory as their starting point. So once we were in iTunes, we were in all kinds of other apps. But Stitcher, I had to separately put ourselves in. I did that. And now we're in there, but you can't actually find us. So lovely. But but if you love Stitcher, you can now find us on Stitcher. So I thought it would be worth noting that.
All right.
We're getting close to the end here. There was another movie theater shooting in Louisiana this time.
I didn't do it.
I'm glad you didn't do it, Yvonne.
Yep, I'm trying to, you know, stay on the
straight and narrow. This is, as usual, brought up the gun control debate. It's got, on the one hand, it's got people saying, you know, we should control guns better so that these kinds of things don't happen.
You know, the whole problem with the whole gun control thing. And I'm getting all the stupid article. I got all these people talking about trying to compare, like, Chicago has strict gun control laws. So why can't they stop any crime? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, everybody, listen, morons. Yes, Chicago is basically surrounded by Indiana, which, by the way, there's more gun shops than gas stations in Indiana. You know how I know this? Because when I first went to Indiana, which I drove from when Sam and I graduated in college, the first thing I did is like jump on a U-Haul and drive to Indiana so my brother could have my furniture. I sat down at a place, turned on the TV, and that was the first news story. Okay, there's more gun shops than gas stations in Indiana. So, you know, since Indiana is right together to Illinois, all you do is go to Indiana, buy all the guns you want, go shoot everybody you want, fucking Chicago.
So the two things here. So one, there are the people calling for gun control. Two, there's another group of people saying we need to have more people armed so that somebody in the theater could have shot back.
God, yeah, whatever. Look, yeah, let's just have a big, you know, let's just have a couple of people with machine guns. Look. The problem is the gun control, unless it's the national gun control, it doesn't work. Our bordering states, one between the other, is just ridiculous. It doesn't really work.
I'll put something else out there, too, which is that let's be honest about the gun control. I'm generally in favor of more regulations around guns. And yes, I think you should have, you know, if you've got a history of problems, maybe you shouldn't have a gun, etc. But let's be honest here. Those kinds of restrictions don't necessarily help this kind of problem. Because as people have pointed out all the time, you know, the people who really want to get guns and are out to do bad things will find a way to get the guns. They're going to break the law anyway. What gun control does is not address these kinds of mass shootings, which, by the way, if you look at all gun deaths in the country, are a tiny, tiny sliver on the top. Gun control more generally, and honestly, just making it harder to get a gun, period, reduces the number of people who go through the trouble, and it reduces the accidental ones. It reduces the climb of passions. It reduces the suicides. It reduces those kinds of things are the things that are affected, not these kinds of mass shootings, not crimes that people are doing with guns. Those kinds of things, you know, if the bad guy wants a gun, the bad guy is going to find a gun, period, end of story. The real result of gun control is you make it harder to get, less people will have them. All of these sort of background level things that happen reduce. And I think you have seen that over time. Like when you do statistics of, you know, degree of gun control versus gun crime, yes, you do see a correlation. When it's harder to get guns, you have less gun deaths.
Well, look at the countries that have like the least amount of access to guns, and they happen to, heaven forbid, have the least number of murders.
But there's a lot of dishonesty in this debate where, you know, the gun control people are saying, you know, we just have to pass more laws and it's going to solve things like Sandy Hook and the movie theater shootings and this and that. No, chances are the gun control is not going to do a damn thing about those kind of cases. But again, those kind of cases are highly visible and people pay attention to them, but the numbers are really, really tiny. We only pay attention to them because it's a lot of people at one time. Yeah. The real problem with gun deaths in the country is not the mass shooting.
It's the onesie-twosies all over place. Yes.
Okay. Jonathan Pollard. We're releasing Jonathan Pollard. And
so why do you think that is?
Yeah, they're denying it up and down, but come on. Well, there are two things here. First of all, apparently he was going to be up for parole anyway in November. They just decided to announce it now. And so there's a good chance that he would have been released in November no matter what. Because he was up for parole, it's been time, he's been a model citizen, blah, blah, blah. But even though the Obama administration denies it up and down, I can't get away from the thought that they're doing this timing to try to pacify, some congressional Democrats who are wavering on the Iran deal. And this is a sop in their direction, not so much a sop directly to Israel, but more to congressional Democrats who are worried about it. The timing is just way too convenient.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, so I think, come on, of course there's a connection.
Of course there is. I mean, 100%. There's got to be a connection. I just wasn't sure who they were trying to appease, because I was just thinking, really? Why the fuck they want to? I mean, they've been like telling Netanyahu to go fuck himself for I don't know how long. And by the way, I totally agree, you know, so with that position. But, you know, so I'm like, why the hell are we trying to like fucking appease him now? Go suck it.
Yeah, so I you know, whatever, the guy's been in jail a long time, you know, water under the bridge.
I think you should go. I think they should let him go.
Okay. I'm just doing these because Yvonne said he was out. Turkey has been doing airstrikes against in Syria, but significantly the entree into this was they were doing airstrikes against ISIS and making a safe zone near the border, but they've been taking advantage of the opportunity to also strike a lot of Kurdish groups. Because, of course, The Turkey has a long-standing issue with the Kurdish minority wanting to be independent, and the Kurds are also taking advantage of the chaos in Syria and Iraq to sort of build a base that they can, you know, potentially act against Syria. So bottom line, it's another sort of escalation of the conflict. I frankly, go against ISIS. I have a lot of sympathy for the Kurds in Iran, Syria, and Turkey. And apparently, like, the Kurdish part of Iraq is the part that's doing better than any other. The Kurds are fairly fairly liberal, westernized, modern, and are just like, you know, let us live our lives. And so, you know, okay, let them have their own state. You know,
I agree. I 100% agree.
You know, they'd be better off than most of the rest of these places.
Yeah.
But, you know, Turkey feels very threatened by that because there's a significant part of Turkey that, you know, the Kurds would want as part of a Kurdish state. But, you know, let them have the part in Iraq and then be done with it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, the world keeps spinning. We haven't talked about Syria in forever, but that conflict has not died down. There's still lots of people dying.
We increased the body count. What else has happened? I mean, well, the fact that Assad went and said that apparently he's running low on, like, military people to go and, like, send to get killed. So
nice. But, Assad's still sticking around. ISIS is still there. All kinds of other groups are there. I saw one report a couple weeks ago that, you know how we finally said that the Americans are going to go in and train the rebels that we like in Syria. I saw something lately that we have been training those rebels, and we now have a group of Syrian rebels that are American trained that are ready to go. There are 20 of them.
I don't know if you ever, there was a cartoon, something like that. There was a cartoon that said, great, we're here to train the good guys. So, raise your hand if you are, don't hate America. Then out of the 20 people, like, only like two. Raise your hand if you've done, in the end, bottom line, after you ask the questions, you know, find the good guys, one guy left, you know, whatever, you know, it's just, they all hate us anyway.
Well, it's not only that they hate us. It's there's just these ingrained conflicts that are very deep. And again, I keep thinking my bottom line is the only rational thing to do here is for us to just not be involved, because all we do is make it worse.
I do agree. I mean, it's not like, look, it was bad. Look, it was bad. Look, we did get attacked when we were not involved, and we got involved, and it didn't help anything. So well, what the
I,
hell?
I remember seeing a report last year sometime, I think it was, where when somebody in the military was suggesting arming the rebels, I forget if it was Syria or somewhere else, but they were suggesting arming the rebels. Obama told them to please come back to him and give him one example of any time in the last 100 years where arming the rebels has worked and has helped.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
And it just, you know, because fundamentally, I think this seems like, to me, completely obvious. If your goal is to end the conflict, you don't do that by adding weapons to the conflict.
You don't?
You don't. Now, of course, that's if you don't really care who wins, you just want it to stop. There's one thing you do. But if you actually say, you know, well, these guys winning is bad, and we'll do whatever we do can do to stop those guys from winning, then I guess the calculus is a bit different. But the corollary to that is the way to stop those guys from winning may result in many, 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 many more people dying.
Many, many, many. Okay, you sound like the guy from, like, the Police Academy movie. But anyway. And on that note.
On that note, let's end it. I will mention next week is the first Republican debate, next Thursday, I believe it is, next Thursday evening Eastern time. We've had several requests for us to try to do some sort of commentary on the debates in somewhat real time. We don't do this show live, obviously, but I guess people wanted us to do sort of a Mystery Science Theater kind of thing where we listen to it and then make snide comments over it. The debate is 2 hours long. We are probably not going to do that for 2 hours. Even though many of our shows have been, you know, almost 2 hours lately, I don't think we're just going to play the 2 hour debate and talk over the whole damn thing. But I think we're going to try to do something with the Republican debate, maybe for one segment and see how it goes.
Not sure yet what the hell, but you know,
not sure what the hell. And it depends on timing, but, we'll try to do something just to see how it works. And, you know, it might just fail utterly. We'll let you know. Like, if it just plain doesn't work, we'll do a regular show and we'll let you know we tried and we failed. Sorry, guys. But if it does work, you'll get at least a little bit of that. But that's just a preview of next time around, because, you know, the Republican debate, it is going to be fun. Whether or not you listen to us do weird commentary on it, whether or not you tend to like, whether or not you're a Republican, this is going to be fun. You've got Donald Trump and 9 other Republicans in the main debate, and then you've got the children's table debate with 7 other Republicans happening a couple hours earlier. It's on Fox. The fireworks start at 5 Eastern time, which I guess is 2 Pacific. With the kids' table debate first, and then the real debate at 9 p.m. Eastern on Fox News. Come on, guys. You can't miss this. This is going to be hilarious. This is going to be really freaking funny. So, like,
I mean, the thing is, like, but you said, the one crazy thing is, what if Trump shows up and tries to be
normal,
presidential?
Like,
and it's going to turn into a boring, you know, 2 hours.
It might. If Trump doesn't start throwing bombs left and right, then
Huckabee,
yes,
it turns on the ovens, you know, to get, I don't know, is Huckabee gonna be in the top 10?
I forget. They haven't set the final list yet. Fox will announce it sometime in the next few days.
Well, maybe you and I can get invited to the kids table anyway.
Anyway, tune into that debate, and we'll undoubtedly talk about it one way or another in the next couple shows, because I mean, come on. Anyway, that's a show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate you. Send us comments, as always. And have a great week, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.